This morning, I want you to recollect with me a little bit. Do you ever think back to those days whenever you were a little bit younger? And we have a mixed congregation here, so we have some folks that are in their young days. They're in school yet, and we have others that have lived a few more years than that. And so I want you to think back to those days whenever you were a child. And I want you to remember those times when you're on family vacation and you were taking a long road trip, or maybe it wasn't vacation, maybe it was for some other reason. Either way, you were taking a long road trip to visit family or friends or to do something else. And as you were going on that long road trip, okay, so think back to those early days when you were a child, when you're on that long road trip with your family, you're going to some faraway location, and do you remember what you did and what you said during that long road trip? And maybe you had several of them, or maybe more than you can even count when you were a child. As those miles passed by, one after the other after the other, were you just sitting there with your hands on your lap and as content as can be? Or were you perhaps a little bit restless? Were you as patient as can be? Or were you maybe pestering your brother or your sister or your parents or your aunt or your uncle? Did you continually harass people? And did you ask time and time again, are we there yet? Did any of you ever ask that when you were a child? Are we there yet? And maybe you were just 15 minutes into the drive and you said, are we there yet? And hour after hour, you ask, are we there yet? I think all of us had times when we were children and we weren't patient. We were eager to get to our destination and we were just wondering, are we there yet? We pestered our parents. We pestered those who were by us. So hard to wait hour after hour after hour as we sat in that car with our families. I think most of us, if not all of us, were in that situation at one point in our lives, or we will be, as we think about little Jack there. Little Jack doesn't pester his parents too much yet, right? But all of us at one point in time were there, or soon will be. Many of us have experienced the flip side of that, right? So maybe you are parents or grandparents or your aunts and uncles, and you go on a long road trip with your family, and you have the little ones asking, are you there? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? And you know how annoying that can be sometimes. And you say, no, we're not there yet. So whether we're children or whether we're adults, it can be hard, can it, to wait and wait and wait to get to that place that we want to go. It's very easy to become impatient, to become bored, to become frustrated. There are times when we get perhaps anxious or afraid if we aren't quite sure what that destination holds for us in the future, if there are some unknowns for us. As we think about children, oftentimes they get impatient on those long road trips. They just can't wait to get there. As adults, sometimes we get impatient too. Perhaps far too often we get impatient. Personally, I've never flown before on an airplane. Probably most of you have flown though, and you're not quite like me. Some of you perhaps haven't flown before. But how do you feel whenever your flight gets delayed? If it's delayed an hour or two, maybe you are a little impatient, a little bit put out that it's delayed. Or what happens if you have a whole day layover where you have to have some unexpected sleeping situation? Maybe you have to sleep at the airport or you have to go to a hotel. Sometimes we can be impatient whenever things get delayed an hour or two or a day or two. Can you imagine, though, if you had to wait not just a few hours or just a couple of days to go to the place that you wanted to go? What if you had to wait months? Or what if you had to wait even years to get to the place that you wanted to go, to get to that desired destination? Would you be a little frustrated or discouraged, perhaps? Maybe you would have a bit of uneasiness if you were a little bit trepidatious about what happens in the future, some of those unknowns on the way or on that destination. And what a relief it is whenever we finally reach the place where we want to go. Well, this morning we're going to be encouraged by the Apostle Paul. We'll be turning to Acts chapter 28 very soon. We'll be looking at verses 11 through 31. And Paul was a man who experienced long waits and delays as he was looking forward to that long-desired destination. Paul's destination was Rome. That was the place that God had promised him. This is where you're going to be a witness for me, in that capital city of the Roman Empire, Rome. Paul would be a witness for Jesus there. But how long did it take for Paul to get to Rome? God had made the promise to him, and then he had to wait for well over 2 years to get to Rome. For 2 years, he was in what we'd call limbo. Things were just up in the air. He was in Roman custody in the city of Caesarea, The Roman governors, the ones who were in charge, they were unwilling to make a decision either for him or against him. He had been falsely accused by the Jews, and the governors of that Roman province didn't want to do anything either for him or against him. They just left him in custody, just let him sit there in prison. Finally, Paul appealed to Caesar. He knew that he wasn't going to receive a fair trial under the governorship of Festus, and so he appealed to Caesar, the one who was in top authority in the Roman Empire. But even after he had appealed to Caesar, the trip to Rome was not an easy one. It had many uncertainties. It had delays. It had unexpected detours. But at long last, Paul arrived at his long-desired destination, the city of Rome. What a relief it must have been for him to finally set his eyes upon that great city, that large city. I think Paul, as he was on the way to Rome, and he probably had some uneasiness. Maybe he had a little bit of anxiety during that trip to Rome. But all throughout that trip, upon his arrival, God encouraged him in so many different ways. He gave him many opportunities to be a witness for Jesus Christ. And this morning, I want us to be encouraged by the life of the Apostle Paul and how God encouraged him, how he gave him opportunities to be a witness for Jesus Christ. This morning, let's turn to Acts chapter 28. Maybe you've turned there already. We'll be looking at verses 11 through 31. For using one of our Pew Bibles, it's page 1292. Paul here in this passage was encouraged. He was given opportunities from God to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Well, how did that come about? Well, as we look at verses 11 through 15, as Paul neared the city of Rome, there were believers from the city of Rome that came and encouraged him. As we come to verses 16 through 29, shortly after Paul arrived in Rome, there were unbelieving Jews from the city that came and talked with Paul, and they heard the gospel of Jesus Christ from Paul. Then as we look at verses 30 and 31, during the 2 years that Paul stayed in Rome, there were others, many others that came to him in his house, and they heard the truth about the kingdom of God. They heard the truth about Jesus Christ. So even though Paul's travel to Rome took a long time, a lot of delays, a lot of unexpected events that happened, God was faithful, and God used Paul to be a great witness for him. God encouraged him along the way, and even while he was there in Rome. Now we today, we're not on a voyage to Rome. You know, I've never been to Rome. Maybe you have, but I doubt if many of us have been to Rome before. So we're not in Paul's situation. We're not going to be sitting out on ship to go to Rome and then do the last leg of the journey on land. But whether we're heading to Rome or if we're heading someplace else in our life, we can rest assured that God is here with us, and God is going to encourage us along the way, because there are times whenever we get discouraged along life's path, right? There are times whenever things are difficult. God is God who encourages us, and many times he encourages us by people like you and I, right? He encourages us by fellow believers. God gives us not only encouragement, but he gives us opportunities to be a faithful witness for Jesus Christ, to share the good news of Jesus. And so this morning, let's be encouraged by the life of the Apostle Paul, how he was encouraged by fellow believers. But before that, let's consider how Paul was completing the last leg of his journey to Rome. We come to Acts chapter 28, and we read in verse 11, "And after 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux." So as we've been studying the book of Acts, the last few chapters, we've been looking at how Paul has traveled from Caesarea to Rome, his ultimate destination. Of course, this morning we're looking at how he arrives in Rome. And so we just left off the passage where he was in the island of Malta. The ship that he was in shipwrecked just off the shore of Malta. It was a bad time for sailing. And so wintertime, nobody sailed. Here was Paul and some 276 others with him. And more than that, no doubt, but some 276 on the ship, I believe in total, that were shipwrecked. All of them safely reached shore. They spent some 3 months on Malta during the wintertime. And now the time comes for them to leave Malta to continue the rest of their journey to Rome. Now the ship that they arrived on was shipwrecked, and so it was a total loss. Thankfully, there was another ship that had wintered over in this island of Malta. And Paul and his fellow travelers were able to embark on that ship and go the rest of their way to Rome. So after 3 months, We departed in the ship from Alexandria. Of course, Alexandria, a city in Egypt. Many of the ships that came from Alexandria were loaded with grain. And they would come from Alexandria, and then they'd go to Rome and deliver their grain. No doubt this was a grain ship loaded with wheat that they embarked on from Malta. And so they wintered over in the isle, and they embark on a ship. And this ship was known by a certain sign. We have Castor and Pollux. These were two Greek gods, and they were known as, quote-unquote, savior gods. They were to keep the sailors safe at sea. Of course, we realize it wasn't those gods that were keeping Paul and the others safe. It was God himself, the creator, the sustainer that was keeping Paul and the others safe. And so it was on the ship that Paul and Luke and the others, they go to Rome. The voyage is some 210 miles. And Luke gives a description of this journey in the verses to come. So we come to verse 12. And landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. And so you see the arrow pointed at Malta. A little bit further to the north is Syracuse. Syracuse would be the capital city of the island there of Sicily. They stayed there for 3 days. This city of Syracuse was a center for Greek culture. It was a natural stop on that journey through the Straits of Messina. Cicero describes it as very prosperous. It possessed two harbors. It was very lovely, according to Cicero. So from Malta, they go to Syracuse. From there, we read in verse 13, and from thence we fetched a compass and came to Rhegium. And after one day, the south wind blew, and we came the next day to Puteoli. And there we found brethren and were desired to tarry with them 7 days. And so we went toward Rome. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. So here's Syracuse in Sicily. From there they go to Rhegium, which would be on the toe of Italy. You see the arrow there, Rhegium. And from here that they set a sail again with favorable winds. Their next destination was the city of Puteoli, further up on the western coast of Italy. And it was here at that port fellow believers encouraged Paul, and they gave him great hospitality. They invited him to stay with them for a week. No doubt the centurion, keep in mind Paul here was a prisoner. He was under the Roman authority, and so he has a centurion assigned to watch over him. No doubt that centurion already had planned to stay there in this port city. He allowed Paul to stay 7 days with fellow believers. Probably a soldier went with him during that time. So from this city of Puteoli, the rest of the trip would be on land, no more ship travel. And before they reached the city of Rome, there were believers that came and met him on the way. Now, keep in mind, Paul by this time was probably very tired. He was probably very eager to reach Rome. He may have been a little bit uneasy about Rome, what Rome would have for him. And so as he's on his way by road, we have believers that come from Rome. First of all, they meet him at the Forum of Appius, or Appii Forum. That's some 43 miles to the south of Rome. So we have believers that are in Rome. They travel from Rome to meet Paul at the Forum of Appius. There are some others that met him at what's called Three Taverns, and Three Taverns is 21 miles south of Rome. So can you imagine the Apostle Paul, how encouraged, how blessed he would have been as he saw believers come to meet him? Many of these believers he probably had never seen face to face, but yet they cared about him, they loved him, and they wanted to encourage him. Here he is, Paul, he's on this last leg of his journey to Rome. So many delays, so many unexpected circumstances. Paul was probably tired, maybe a little anxious. But whenever he saw his fellow believers, his heart was just encouraged. Paul strengthened his soul through those fellow believers, those brothers and sisters in Christ. Sometimes I don't think we realize how important Christian fellowship is. You know, God means for us to serve him together. He doesn't want us to be lone rangers. Paul was not a lone ranger. On his trip from Caesarea to Rome, there were believers with him. We have Luke, we have others too, at least one other that was with him. But how encouraging it would have been for many from the church from Rome to come and meet him on the way, to take that time, travel 43 miles by road to meet him there at the Forum of Appius, and then a little bit closer they meet others at the Three Taverns. How encouraging that would have been. Sometimes I don't think we realize that fellowship is so good for our souls. Whenever we're down, whenever we're really struggling, What can lift up our hearts? What can encourage us? What can strengthen us spiritually? Many times, God strengthens us spiritually by the encouragement of fellow believers. So I want you to look around. You see brothers and sisters in Christ all around you. Brothers and sisters, we need to encourage one another. We need to pray for one another. Along life's journey, we need to be there and help one another. You know, there are going to be times in our own lives, you know, where we can be an encouragement to others. There are going to be times when we're down and out, and somebody is going to come along and encourage us and strengthen us spiritually. Paul was there. I'm sure he was tired. He was struggling. No doubt, perhaps struggling a certain amount spiritually. When he saw those believers, he took courage. God strengthened him. Well, as we come back to our text, we continue on with verses 16 through 22. Not only did God encourage Paul on his way from Caesarea to Rome, but God gave Paul many opportunities to be a faithful witness for him. We come to verses 16 through 22. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with the soldier that kept him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who when they had examined me, would have let me go because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you, to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. And they said unto him, We neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee, but we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. So here Paul finally reaches Rome, his final destination. All throughout this journey, it's very clear, as Luke narrates the events, it's very clear that Paul is no ordinary Roman prisoner. Paul, on points of time in the trip at certain cities, he was allowed to go and visit Christian brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, he wasn't allowed to go alone, but there's a soldier with him, but he was allowed to leave. Here in Rome, whenever they reach their destination, the centurion doesn't deliver him over to the common prison along with all the other prisoners. No, the one in charge there allowed Paul to be on his own, not all the way on his own, but to have just one soldier with him, and he had his own quarters, his own house that he no doubt rented, as we see from the text further down. Paul was very privileged and blessed. It was only 3 days after Paul settled into his place at Rome. 3 days. And what does Paul do? Paul reaches out to the Jews that lived in Rome. He reaches out to the leaders. Now keep in mind, Paul wasn't allowed to just go anywhere that he wanted in the city of Rome. He was no doubt under house arrest. But what did Paul do? He reached out. And if he couldn't go, he invited people to come and visit with him. So what does he do? The Jewish leaders of Rome come and talk with him, and he shares with them some of his background. Why is Paul here in Rome? Well, he's in Rome because of what happened in Jerusalem. What happened in Jerusalem? Well, we see that, and Paul no doubt filled in all the details here, but here the Jewish leaders were intent on having Paul killed. They brought accusations against Paul. The Roman authorities didn't see any cause of death in Paul. He hadn't done anything worthy of death. So the Roman authorities were wanting to release him. But the Jewish people didn't want that to happen. That's why Paul appealed to Caesar, so that he could have a fair trial, at least a more fair trial. Now, Paul wants to make it clear to these Roman Jews, he wasn't in Rome to accuse his own nation. He was in Rome because of the hope of the God of Israel. That's why Paul was in Rome. We read in verse 19, But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had ought to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called to you, to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. Paul would have been bound to a Roman soldier. And Paul says, I am in bonds right now. Why? Because of the hope of Israel. What is that hope? He's made it clear earlier The hope of Israel has to do with the resurrection, and specifically the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why Paul was in chains. Paul wanted to make it very clear to the Roman Jews, he doesn't have anything against him or the nation, or anything against the Jewish leaders or against the nation. He was here because of his proclamation of Jesus Christ, his hope that even Israel has. Now, the Jewish leaders, how do they respond? They respond by saying, well, we haven't heard anything about this. You know, we haven't heard any word from the home country about you, either nay or yay, either good or bad. And they were saying, well, we have heard quite a bit about this sect of the Nazarenes, these ones who followed this man Jesus. So they were interested in finding out more. So we come to verses 23 through 29. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed, after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed, and had great reasoning among themselves. So whenever Paul initially called the Jewish leaders, he explained some of his background, why he was in Rome, how he didn't have anything against the Jewish nation, how he was in chains because of his proclamation of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and salvation in his name. Well, the Jews wanted to come back and hear more. And so we have not only those same Jews, but many others come to Paul in his rented house. And Paul was eager to share with them about this sect of the Nazarenes. The Jews of Rome hadn't heard anything about Paul, either good or bad, about why he was there. But they had heard a lot about these followers of Jesus. And so Paul was very eager to share with them who Jesus is and how he relates to the kingdom of God. So Paul, what does he do? He expounds, he testifies to them about the kingdom of God. He spoke to them about Jesus and how Jesus is in fact the Messiah. He is the Savior. He is the one that all of the prophets were looking forward to. He went to the law of Moses. He went to the prophets as he discussed with these Jews the truth of who Jesus is and what his role is in the kingdom of God. He is the King. He is the Messiah. Now, as Paul was here with all these Jewish leaders, I'm sure there was quite the lively discussion. It was a long discussion. It was from very early in the morning to late at night. And as Paul discussed and did his best to persuade these Jews, his fellow Jews, you know, these were his countrymen. He did his best to persuade them that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the one who is over the kingdom of God. And what happens as a result? Some of them are persuaded. Some of them believe and are saved. Others, many others, reject Jesus Christ. They reject the truth. And so the Jews are divided, like many times before in Paul's ministry. Some accepted Jesus, many rejected him. So the people were debating and discussing with Paul, but not only were they debating and discussing with Paul, but now they were debating and discussing with one another. They were discussing among themselves, well, is Jesus really the Christ or is he not? Is he the one who's going to rule in the kingdom or is someone else yet to come? They were debating among themselves, what is the truth? Who is this Jesus? Is he the Messiah or not? Well, I think it probably was quite late whenever they all were on the ready to go. They were ready to leave. And it was quite late. And before they left, Paul left them with one final word of exhortation. It came from the prophet Isaiah. What did he tell them? He says, first of all, the heart of this people is waxed gross. The people, the Jewish people, by and large, their hearts had grown fat. Their hearts had become, they had become dull and unresponsive. Paul says that what Isaiah spoke concerning their ears was true. Their ears were dull of hearing. Their eyes were closed. for the Jews that were before him and many other Jews, what they should have seen clearly as can be, what they should have realized as the truth concerning Jesus and concerning God's kingdom, that they were totally oblivious to. They didn't understand. They couldn't perceive. And why were they in that situation? They were in that situation because they had willingly closed their eyes. They had willingly stopped up their ears. They were stubborn. They were rebellious. They were unwilling to accept the truth of who Jesus is and what he had done. Paul says, well did Isaiah the prophet say these things. Yes, go to the people, but hearing you will hear and you will not understand. Seeing you will see and not perceive. Why? Because the heart of this people has waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes have they closed. See, if they would have open eyes, they would see the truth. If they had open ears, they would hear the truth and they would accept it. They would repent of their sin. They would turn to God. They would be saved. But yet they were unwilling to do that by and large. As a whole, the Jews of Rome rejected Jesus Christ. As a whole, the Jews of the entire Roman Empire rejected Jesus Christ. Some of them were saved, but many of them rejected him. And as a result of the Jews' rejection of Jesus, Paul says, the gospel and salvation have gone to the Gentiles, and they will hear, they will see, they will accept the truth, they will be made right with God. Now, can you imagine how angered the Jews must have been at hearing this word? How they must have argued and debated among themselves even more as they left Paul's presence. See, here's Paul. He's in the city of Rome. For upwards of 2 years, Paul was eagerly awaiting to come to Rome. Think of how tired he must have been after being on the ship for so long and then suffering shipwreck, and then staying 3 months at Malta, and then finally getting to Italy, and then traveling the last leg of the journey on foot. Part of that way, I'm sure he was discouraged. He was anxious, but he was encouraged by the fellowship of fellow believers. He was encouraged by his brothers and sisters in Christ. Whenever he arrived in the city, God gave him many opportunities to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. He couldn't go freely in the city and go to the synagogues, but he did invite the Jews to come to him, and he declared openly and plainly the truth of Jesus Christ. Paul was faithful. He proclaimed the truth. Now, many of the Jews didn't respond as he would have liked, but that wasn't Paul's fault, was it? The Jews had a hard heart. It's only by God's grace that some of them trusted in Christ. Now, many Gentiles have a hard heart as well, but in God's grace, many more Gentiles accept Christ, many more than the Jews. Now, as we think about how this applies to us, we're not sitting chained to a Roman soldier. We're not confined to our houses. But we have opportunities like Paul had. They may, you know, the opportunities may be slightly different as far as how the events play out. But Paul had opportunities to share the gospel, and he took those opportunities. We today have opportunities to share the gospel. We must use those opportunities to proclaim the truth about Jesus. Now, whether people believe the message or not, that's not up to us. That's up to God, isn't it? What we must do, though, is be faithful in sharing the truth. Paul was proactive in sharing the gospel. How long was he in Rome before he invited the Jews to come to him? It was 3 days. He got right on top of things, didn't he? He was zealous to share the truth of Jesus. How about us? How zealous are we to share the truth of Jesus? Sometimes it may be a week or two or a month or two before we share Jesus with those that we know. And even with those that we don't know. Well, not only was Paul a good witness to the Jewish people of Rome, but he was a good witness to many others in Rome. We come to verses 30 and 31. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. It's by God's grace that Paul wasn't shut up in a cold, dark prison cell. He had his own rented house that he could live in. God provided for that wonderful, provided for him wonderfully in that way. So here, 2 years, Paul is in Rome, no doubt still in limbo, or maybe waiting for an appointment with Caesar. So 2 years, what does he do in his rented house? He receives all that would come into him. So that would include Jews. He wouldn't turn the Jews away. But think about all the Gentiles that came in to see him as well. What did Paul do? He preached the kingdom of God. He taught those things that concern Jesus Christ. He did so with all confidence. He was bold. He was zealous. He laid out the truth plainly, openly, so people could understand. 2 years. For 2 years, nobody told him, you can't preach that. For 2 years, nobody prohibited him from speaking the truth of the gospel. Think of all the opportunities. Now keep in mind, during those 2 years, he was constantly chained to a Roman soldier. It wasn't the same Roman soldier, though. So think about the hundreds upon hundreds of Roman soldiers that were chained to Paul, probably in four-hour increments. Paul had a captive audience. The soldier thought that he was keeping Paul captive, but in reality it was Paul that had the soldier as a captive audience, and how many soldiers came to know Jesus Christ as a result of that. Great opportunities that Paul used. But not everybody that Paul talked to was a soldier. There were many others that came in. One of the people that came in to talk with Paul was a man named Onesimus. Onesimus was a runaway slave. He came in, he talked with Paul, and Onesimus came in that house as a sinner bound for the eternal torments of hell. He eventually left that house as a redeemed saint, as a child of God. Paul later on wrote to Onesimus' master Philemon, and he wrote these words, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. Onesimus is just one example of God's grace, how people were saved gloriously by Paul's faithful witness. See, Paul had waited for so long to get to Rome. When he finally got there, Paul took courage and he shared the gospel openly and with zeal. Onesimus was saved. Who knows how many hundreds of other people were saved as a result of Paul's faithful testimony. Paul finally got to Rome. Luke closes by saying, Paul was speaking the word of God. Nobody was forbidding him. He was speaking it openly with boldness. We today, we're not chained to a Roman soldier. We're not confined to our houses. But the need still remains, with Paul just as it is with us today, the need remains for us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are so many people in this world that need to hear the truth about him. Sometimes we get discouraged, whether it's related to our work in the church or whether it's something totally unrelated. Sometimes we get discouraged and we don't really feel like doing much of anything. Well, it's during those times that believers in Christ can encourage us. We need to be on the lookout for ways that we can encourage one another and be faithful in that. As we encourage one another, we can take heart, and then we can be more prepared and more eager to share the gospel. Well, Paul was encouraged, and he was zealously sharing the gospel in Rome, both to the Jews and to the Gentiles. God greatly used Paul. God wants to greatly use us as well. God's going to give us many open doors to share the gospel. May we use those open doors. May we proclaim Jesus Christ boldly. God is so good to us. May we be like Paul. May we be zealous heralds of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, just like Paul was. And as we share the gospel, may many be saved. May God be glorified.